Father, I thank you so much for your message today. I'm grateful. Lord, once again, I humble myself, confessing sins of omission and of commission. I'm asking for help, covering. Lord God, to uphold and to sustain me as we go into your word this day. Help me to speak as an oracle of God. Let your word go forth out of my mouth like streams of living water. Lord, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes in our lives, to cause our blind eyes to be opened, Lord God, to see this vision of a house and to run with it in the name of Jesus. Help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. As the word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble and minds for enlightened with revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord God Almighty, I ask, Lord, always come and glorify the Lord Jesus. Come and testify of him. Come and confirm the word today with signs following. Help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Looking for That Blessed Hope. Say it together. Looking for that blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 verses 11 to 14. We'll be talking today. I believe this message is of very great importance to us, especially in this house. And wherever you may be, who is following after. We're not saying we are the only ones. But you see, this 37th year anniversary is very, very significant. 30 stands for maturity and 7 stands for completion. The completion of maturity. Praise the Lord. So Titus chapter 2 reads from verses 11 to 14. Praise the Lord. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appear toward all men, say all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That speaks about self-denial. Verse 13 speaks about self-denial. Next verse. Looking for. Verse 12 rather speaks about self-denial. Looking for that blessed hope. Say that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. You see, verse 14 now begins to talk about the purpose. You see, today's weekly rhema was talking about the glory and the purpose. The glory is not the purpose, but we need the glory to fulfill the purpose. So verse 12 speaks about self-denial. It said denying on God's loss. Verse 13 speaks about the revelation of that purpose. I follow me. The glory that we need. Now the next verse, are you with me? Now began to talk about the purpose. So we're not just going to hear the glory and then sit down. Praise the Lord. So who gave himself for us that he might what? Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, say, a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. So he's not talking about going to heaven here. If he's talking about going to heaven, we are not going to do any good works in heaven. So the first verse in verse 12 speaks about denying ungodliness, self-denial daily, which we have been doing. The next verse talks about getting the glory, so looking for the glory of God. And then the third, verse 13, talks about what? Us being a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It's right here in the nasty now and now that we need the glory to do the good works. Then you can fulfill your purpose. Praise the Lord. So, let's in Amplified Bible, Titus chapter 2, verse 9, because that is the punchline of my message. In Amplified Bible, it says that awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God, say great God, and our Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Isaiah 25 verse 9 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him. And he will save us and rejoice to us with joy. And what? We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We have come to the season of rejoicing in the salvation of God. Spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12. Because of time, let's read from the Amplified Bible. Pastor has preached from this thing. This is the focus of my message today. We're in that Kairos moment as a body, as a local body, in which God is calling us to fulfill our prophetic destiny. So these 37 years of faithful ministry of our fathers is not just something that is happening. The Bible says that, you know, like Pastor Kule was teaching Revelation chapter 22, there are things written concerning you and I in this book. There are things also written concerning this local body in the written word of God. Praise the Lord. So what does it say in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12 in NIV? So as you look forward, as you look forward in NIV, as you look forward, to the day of God and speed its coming. Say, as look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And in King James says, hasten the coming of the Lord. That this Lord, we can either delay it or hasten it, depending on what we do. Now, just to explain for those that eventually are here for the first time or listening to the message, there are four phases of his coming or his appearing, like Pastor has taught us. So he'll first of all come in us, and he's going to come to us. He's going to come for us at the rapture and then at the millennial reign. So it's going to come. The coming we are talking about today is the coming in us. After he comes in us, he's now going to come to us. Let's just put a scripture behind, because Pastor just added this, you know, recently about it coming to us. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. Galatians 1 15. Where Paul was talking. Galatians 1 15. We're going to read verses 15 and 16. Paul was talking. And look at what he said. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his word, grace. Now, next verse. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So there came a time in Paul's life that has come in this ministry, and for us who have been following after, for God to reveal his son in us. So he's going to come in us in perfection and fullness, and he's going to come to us. The Bible says he shall be admired in all his saints. Are you with me? Then he's now going to come even for us at the rapture, that he will come with us for God's millennial reign. Praise the Lord. So he's coming here, speaks as we've been taught, of his coming in us in perfection and fullness with the imminent manifestation of the glory of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 is a scripture we all know, but it's important for us to mention it because it's very important. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, what does it say? To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this what? Mystery, like Pastor Kule was sharing. Among the Gentiles, the secret, which is what? Let's read together. Christ in what? In you, the hope of glory. So that is the hope we are looking for. We are not looking for the rapture now. That's another. We are not looking for the resurrection now. But the hope that we are looking for is Christ in us, the hope of glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, the matter of three witnesses, let every word be established. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says that when it shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired coming to us, in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Praise the Lord. As another one, I'm not mentioned, Pastor Noah, I think he mentioned in the Bible study, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. He talks about us inheriting the same glory that Christ inherited. To settle for anything less is to settle for Zohar. Are you with me? Say, whereunto, let's read together, whereunto he called you, Professor Olakpade, put your name there, by our what? Gospel. To the obtaining of what? The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it makes it very clear, folks. That is our calling. That is our destiny. We are called to, you see, because I'm getting out of myself. If you don't get the glory, you cannot fulfill the fullness of your purpose. We need that glory to fulfill the fullness of our purpose. Praise the Lord. Now, the purpose of this message today is to alert us and to enable us to quicken our pace spiritually. You see, as we continue. It will alert us and to quicken our pace spiritually. You see, if you look at the things that are going on in the world, it's enough to discourage you. I begin to wonder, will this thing happen? But I'm here to tell you, the scripture says, before the pots can fill the tons, he will take them away in his wrath. You see, I don't care what is happening in the nation. The Bible says, the prophets over us have said, before your pots, the pot speaks about the children, those of us in the house of God. Born again Christians that are pressing toward the mark of pumping the life of God into their physical body at their port. He said, before they can feel the tongues, the messenger of Satan, he said, he will take them away. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 16, Amplified Bible. Let's just read it. Put on scriptures behind it. I said, the purpose of the message is for us to quicken our pace. To quicken our pace. In the Amplified Bible, I said, please stay with the scriptures I quote. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 16, in Amplified Bible. Zephaniah chapter 3. Verse 16 in the Amplified Bible. Please kindly stay with what the scriptures I quote so we don't get distracted. What does it say? In that day, which is today, it shall be said to you, Scripture Pastor Christian Center, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands sink. Sink down, or be slow and listless. The next scripture, Romans chapter 9, verse 28 in the NIV. Romans 9, 28. in the NIV. Are we there? Pastor has preached many times from position times. For the Lord, what? Will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and what? Finality. God wants to close his program with the earth. With speed and what? Finality. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3 in the King James Bible. Talks about that hope. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3 in the King James Bible. It says that, and hereby we do know that we know him. I don't think that's the right scripture. 3, I said, not 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, talking about he that had this hope in himself, purified himself. Are we there now? Okay. He said, beloved, say, beloved. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We'll see him in each other. Next verse. That says, and every man, including you and I, that hath this hope in him, purified himself, even as he is pure. So motivation for us unto purity. A motivation for us to run the race that God has set before us. Say, don't let your hands drop. Praise the Lord. Like I said, as a local body, we are in the season of the manifestation and it's time of the realization of that blessed hope, like we read earlier on. We have experienced 37 years of God's faithfulness to our fathers in keeping the word of his patience. I'm taking it from Revelation now. Just flow with me because of time. And not denying his name. Like Joseph held onto his God-given dream. That is where we are now as a body. Praise the Lord. Like I said, 30 is God's number for maturity. 7 is God's number for completion. What are we saying? We are going to look at the type today from the life of Joseph. At the age of 30, he came out of prison when he stood before Pharaoh. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What does he say? And Joseph, let's look. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. This was 2014 when the church celebrated its 30th anniversary. That was when Joseph came out of prison and he stood before Pharaoh. And we know the story, of course. Interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And then that began the 7 years of plenty, in which he began to store corn. Corn there being a type of the word of God. Because he had a dream, Pharaoh had a dream of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So when Joseph came out of prison, are you with me, and stood before Pharaoh, that marked the beginning of his 7 years of plenty. Are you with me? So we found that 7 years of plenty, in which you read the weekly rhema, daily rhema, it just keeps coming out. I was in the church office some days ago. I was talking to Ashola. I'm sorry, Sister Shola. And I said, it's been a long time since I've read the weekly rhema. I've not gone to, maybe new ones are coming. He said, Pastor has stopped producing weekly rhema. What does that mean? We are feeding syllabus, folks. See, everything we are saying using the is the same thing. There's nothing else to say again. They have finished the syllabus. Are you with me? So there is a famine coming. Are you with me? So I said that in 2014, when we celebrated the 38th year anniversary of this local body of Christ by the grace of God. If you remember that convention, you know, double glory that we had, Papa Rav, Dr. Eshenwa, Pastor Fred, and Dr. Adebo Akimboboye, that they came. But Joseph's dream of his brothers coming to bow down before him did not come to pass until the end of his 7 years of plenty, by which he was 37 years old. That is where we are now. That is where we are now. The years of plenty are over. This is our 37th year anniversary. Genesis chapter 41, verse 53. Just soaking what I'm saying. We are beginning to see the things written concerning us as a body in the volume of the book. Praise the Lord. 41 verse 53. What does it say? And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. That's when they stopped the big rhema. There was nothing else to say again. All we are doing now is like, folks, there's nothing I'm preaching that is new. You know what I do most of the time? I look at pastors, major, I mix about three together. That's it, though. allowed to be a faithful echo. I just take this one, I take this one, I take this one, I mix it together. I come and serve it to you. Mind you, it was what the Lord Jesus Christ, they gave him the five fish and five loaves and two fish. He broke it and gave the disciples. They didn't have any other message. It was the fish and the bread they gave John, Peter, James, and John, including Judas, that were serving the people. What am I saying? There is so much in this storehouse of Joseph. Too much. That can feed thousands of people. And will. That's what we are doing. God to do. I said, which marked the beginning of the 7 years of famine that his brothers came. Genesis chapter 41, verses 54, 56, and 57. Genesis 41, 54. And the 7 years of death began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the death was in all lands. Say all lands. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. Say, in scripture, Pastor Christ said that there is bread. So you see, Naomi is going to hear that God has visited them in Scripture Pastoral Christian Center. She's going to hear. Verse 56. 56, well, time. 56, please. Lord have mercy on me. 56, please. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. 57. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 42, verse 6. He said, time, scripture pastor, to favor you has come. And Joseph knew his brethren. Is that what I said? Verse 6, please. Let's take it a little bit of time. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. You see, it's a father-son relationship. You know, Joseph can definitely not be giving everybody food. That would be tantamount to what Moses tried to do. So he will give those that were under him. Those ones will give this one, they'll keep on giving. Are you with me? But it's from Joseph, because it was Joseph that laid up the corn. Now, what I want us to see is this. It took 7 years for him to lay up in store. In this 37th year was when his dream was fulfilled. It wasn't the 38th year. You see, the dream that he had was that his brothers came, and his father and his mom, and bowed down before him. The bowing did not occur until they came, which was after the first 7 years of plenty. It was the first year of famine that they came to Egypt. 42 verse 6. Have we read it? Yes. That's when the dream came to pass. That is where we are now. That is where we are now. We are smack in the will of God. Now, these are types and shadows. Now, I'll be a little bit to the left or to the right. But that is where we don't know the day or the hour, but we know the time when that season. Praise the Lord. So, what does it speak to us? Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. 3:9. What does it say? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. So when Joseph's brothers came, it's like the type of those of the synagogue of Satan. Say they worship at your feet. What does it mean to be a synagogue of Satan? It speaks of Christians whose body, their synagogue, is being controlled by the sin nature. Wood, hay, and stubble. Stop looking at the physical building. The synagogue is your temple. Talks about the foolish virgins that do not have oil in their vessel. That is the synagogue of Satan, who have refused to follow purpose and destiny. Wood, hay, and stubble. So they are going to come, because the flesh is going to create a problem for them. And they will come to Joseph, and then you must be willing to give them corn. You must be willing to forgive. You see, the issue is this. We need to understand the glory and the purpose. We are not glorying the fact that somebody has left church and has come back. So he's come back to me. That is pride and arrogance. Because it was not only Joseph's brothers that came to him. The world came to him. But he was generous in his forgiveness. That's what God is calling us to. So it's not just that we have corn laid up so we can say, yes, I have corn. No. It's so that we can feed them with the corn of the word of God. So that they took this open door that God is giving. They will not die in this famine. All these things that are going on in the world at this time. Hearts of men failing them. Are you following me? So understand what I'm saying. So, what are we saying? The Bible speaks about the famine of the world. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12 in the King James Bible. It is similar to the time of Eli and Samuel, where the Bible says there was no word. There's a scarcity of the word. When you begin to see that thing begin to happen, what it means is that there's a change of priesthood from Eli to Samuel. We'll say, and Eli and Samuel ministered unto the Lord, and the word of the Lord was very scarce in those days. Now let's read Amos 8. Behold, said the whole, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I what? Send a famine in the land, and not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of what? Say, hearing the words of the Lord. Next verse. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. The only place to get corn today is in Egypt. And you have to go and meet Joseph. Are you with me? So we're not talking about physical famine. We're talking about the famine of the world. As able to make God's people fulfill their prophetic destiny. As able to deliver the nations from the bondage of corruption. There's a famine. They don't have an answer. Nobody has the answer. America does not have it. We don't have it in Africa. Nobody has the answer. There's a variant now of corona. What's it called? Delta variant. As we are making a vaccine, the corona is showing right up its head. Satan is bad. But the Bible says, for this purpose, was the Son of God manifested, that he was about to destroy the works of the devil. So, I put in my notes, I said, for us, our dream is the realization of the hope of our calling. We are about to give birth to the promise. We are about to give birth to Isaac. Like Pastor Colin was sharing this morning. My mom was sharing, exhorting us before we came for the service. We are about to give birth to the promise, to laughter. Isaac's name means laughter. To the life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh, like Abraham and Sarah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. We need to begin to understand the types and shadows and what they mean. What does it mean to give birth to Isaac? Isaac was the child of promise. Are you with me? You go to the book of Hebrews. He talked about the promise. He said, when God swore, he said, you could not swear by any other. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiply, I will multiply you. I follow him. If you read that part that Pastor Kunle quoted, when Isaac, Abraham offered up his son, God said two things. He said that your seed, shall possess what? The gates of their enemies. Paul comes and says, that seed is not seed, but as unto seed. One. Then the second thing he said is this. He said that your seed shall be a blessing to the nations. Paraphrasing. Two things. They will first of all possess the gates of their enemies. The gate there talks about the five physical senses. When you allow the life of God to dominate your five physical senses, no longer the sin nature or Satan occupying your gate. It's not the life of God. When you get to that stage, you have given birth to Isaac. He's also said the next stage is that seed, that child of promise. Are you following me? God is going to make you, will be a blessing to all nations. Isn't that what he said? Why? Because of his spirit without measure. Because of the ability of the mind of Christ. Now, listen to this. Now, it could be, your Isaac could be you laying down your job to do what God has called you to do. I'm not taking away from it. Are you with me? But what it means in detail from what we have been taught is this. Is that after you give birth to Isaac, the life of God being made manifest in your mortal flesh. Are you with me? You now have to lay it down. You lay down your own agenda and take up God's agenda. That is, you don't receive the glory and then do your own thing. You now take that glory. That's why they laid Isaac on the altar to do the will of God. Bible says that you now go to the nations. Are you following me? Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So now become God's son. That whosoever believes in should not perish, but should not take that everlasting life. That was the type and the shadow that Abraham fulfilled when he laid up Isaac on the altar. So he gave God the rights, legal basis for Christ to come and die on the cross to save mankind. So we too now, we are going to do the same. We have to inherit. Are you following me? The life of God, the anointing, the glory, how you want to call it. The double glory. Like it was called during that conversion 30 years ago. Then they will now, the fathers will now lay you on the altar. What does that mean? Like Pastor shared, you now find a situation whereby we are going for missionary trips. Prof will leave his job for some time. He'll go for 2 months and then we'll come back. Are you following me? So he's no longer living after his own will. Are you with me? So that is how we are going to be a blessing to the nations. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. We are about, I've said, yes. Let's look at Psalm 126, verses 1 to 2. No, we are talking about Joseph's dream that came to pass after the first 7 years of plenty. Now, let's read. We're talking about dreams today. I said that our dream is to realize the hope of his calling. Psalm 126, verses 1 to 2. So, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Our God is about to turn our captivity from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. Next verse. Then was our mouth filled with what? Laughter. We gave birth to Isaac. And our tongue with what? Singing. Then said they among the what? Heathen. The Lord has done great things for us, even we are in Scripture Pastor Christian Center. Or whoever is following after. So I'm not personalizing, no. These are just principles. I'm talking to us today because we are doing it. But it's not only for us here. It's for those that are following after. God didn't keep the promises for us alone. Are you following me? So we should not even think that we are the only ones. Like they told Jesus Christ, there was somebody casting out devil in your name. Says, you used to say, don't forbid him. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? For the past 37 years, like I put in my notes, our parents have gone forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And they are now returning, rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Saying Psalm 126, verse 6. The seed of the first of the first fruits. In those days, when they brought the first fruit, the high priest would wave the sheaf. Then was a mouth. No. I said verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 6. Say, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall what? Say, doubtless. That means of a surety. Come again with rejoicing, bringing his what? Sheaves with him. So God is going to wave you and I as the first of the first fruits from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 37, verse 7. So let us look critically at Joseph's dream. It's about to come to pass. I remember I said it didn't come to pass until when he was 37 years old. Genesis chapter 37, verse 7. Look at what he told his brother. He says, for behold, we are binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheep arose. And also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood one about. And made what? Obeisance to my sheaf. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Those whom Satan dominates, their will, mind, their emotions, I get into the same nature, who don't believe in this message, to come and to worship before your feet. Praise the Lord. That speaks about the 5 wise virgins. Say they had oil in their lamps and also in their vessels. That's why I said this, to ginger us up. To run like never before. To hasten the coming. To speed it. Praise the Lord. The second type I have here is about David and his mighty men. I described David's mighty men were 37. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. Let's first of all read. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. We read 2 verses. Then we'll now go to verse 39. And these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachtonite that sat in the siege, chief among the captains. His name was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Verse 39. Uriah was the last person they mentioned in the chapter. And what? 30 and 7 in. Oh, so he speaks again as a type of the mighty men of David. So you see, through all the different forums that God has opened up, Africa prayers, you know, Good Morning Jesus, in particular at this time, you know, the Wednesday prayer school, David has been raising mighty men. Mighty men that know how to use the sword skillfully. The Bible says that when they came to join David, that some of them could use both hands to hold the stones. That speaks about using revelation knowledge to defeat the enemy. So all these years, David has been raising up mighty men, of which you and I are part of those mighty men. 37 in number. Using them as a type. Praise the Lord. So I put him as a, I said, David and his 37 men are the ones that took Zion. I said, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. So what is the assignment that God has given us? We are to take Zion in this season. Going by the way of the water spout, it was those 37 men. They were not perfect. Joab was amongst them, but they were submitted to David. And David said something. When they came to join him in droves, he said, have you come to join me or to betray me? So they entered into a covenant, like a marriage covenant with David. Notice, David could not go alone to possess Zion. Neither can the mighty man go alone to possess Zion. But you see, you must recognize those in authority over you. If you read the thing that these mighty men did, some of them will stand to defend a land of lintels. They will 300, they will defeat 800, like we read. He said, Bible said, he fought so much that the sword cleaved his hand, the word became flesh. He said, he defeated Moab, lion like men. Pride began to deal with them. But what I want you to see today is this. It is David that had the unction. God now took the bold unction upon each of those mighty men of David, including Uriah. So he can take Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. To the water spout. I don't have time to go there, sir. Let me just stick because of time. You can only go the way of the water spout through travail. Said deep, call out unto deep at the noise of the water spouse. There are waves that have gone over me. You cannot possess Zion, the perfection of beauty, if you don't travel in prayer. I don't intend to go there. We read it last time. Second. What is it again? Second Corinthians chapter 5, I think verse 4. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Please put it there since we've gone there. You see, that's why the church can't take Zion. Are we there? What is it? For we in this tabernacle or this synagogue do what? Groan. There's no other interpretation for that. Did he say speak in tongues? Did he say speak in tongues? So why is the body of Christ denying the truth? Handling the word of God deceitfully. That's what it is. Dishonesty of heart. He said, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed. I said, I don't want to die. Not for I be unclothed, but what? Clothed upon. Say, clothed upon. That mortality, say, mortality might be swallowed up of life. That is the key. That is the technology. That is the technology of which you are going to take the water spout to take Zion. It's the same thing it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10, 11. The life of Christ be made manifest in my mortal body. Let's continue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, having said all that, it's very simple. The dream is certain. Say, the dream is certain. And the interpretation is sure. I've given you two examples. Joseph at 37 and the 37 mighty men of David. Daniel chapter 2 verse 45. Daniel 2 45. Let's just read to put on scriptures behind it. So, we are basing our faith on what the Bible says. For as much as thou sawest the stone, that stone again speaks about the love of God that was cut with our hands. The perfection of love of God. Pastor has taught us over and over from this scripture. Was cut out of the mantle with our hands. And as it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God had made known to the king, as he's telling us today. What shall come to pass hereafter? Let's go there. And what the dream is? Certain. And interpretation thereof? Sure. It shall surely come to pass. It's not a day to leave church, folks. If you are saying it's a day to come back, like Naomi. Genesis chapter 41, verse 32. Genesis chapter 41, verse 32. Let's read. And Father, the dream was doubled. I've doubled it to you now. I follow him by the mercy and the grace of God under covering. Unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God. And God will what? Shortly. God will shortly bring it to pass. A quick work will the Lord do. And cut it short in righteousness. So why is this message very important? Where you can see that is what we are looking for. That is where we are now. You know, message is very important. You know why? If, for example, if you don't have a timetable, you don't know what to prepare for. But if you have a timetable, let us say, for example, biology is next week Friday. And physics is tomorrow. You know, you rather begin to prepare for physics today and leave biology till after physics. You know why? Why we see one of my students here as it's coming to me. You see, that's why we are not preparing for biology, rapture now. We are preparing for physics tomorrow, which is coming in us. Why? Number one, we are in the season of the manifestation of His glory as we approach the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the season. It does not necessarily have to be in September, but we know the time and we know the season. Are you with me? No one knows the day or the hour. But the Bible says you know the times and the seasons. I don't have time to tell me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But I'll read from Psalm 102 that I quoted, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. 102, verse 13. Says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for it is time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Verse 16. When the Lord shall beat up Zion, you can put scripture past scripture and say that. Let's leave it as Zion, because Zion is not only us. We are a Zion. There are many Zion churches scattered all over the world, so we're not the only one. But we have to declare the prophetic word. When the Lord shall build up Zion, it shall appear what? In His glory. So it's about to appear in His glory. That's one of the reasons why we are sharing this message. Number two, the glorious appearing in us, the glorious appearing in us will lead to the doing of the zealous works of the Spirit without measure. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 that we read earlier on. Titus 2 14. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. So a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says the same thing. Say, you are a chosen generation. Are we there? Say, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. You are not ordinary. See, you are not ordinary. Christ in you is what makes the difference. That as you show forth the presence of Him, another version says virtues of Him. Power. Who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? Praise the Lord. So the third point I have here, already like I said, Titus says zealous of good works. So pastor has taught us, we have the good works of charity, just run across it, run through it, which is given that everybody does, including unbelievers. You don't really need any supernatural power to do that. The second one is the good works, I will use this word, part of time, of His pay with the measure. I follow me, when we pray for the sick, we lay hands on them, you know, we see that in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 downwards, says, and they shall recover. I always say that how God anointed just Christ, the Holy Ghost of power, who went about doing good, killing all those that are oppressed of the devil. But see why this message is coming now. We have seen those ones in a measure. God wants us to give us the fullness, which is now for us to receive the Spirit without measure. Where He said in John chapter 14, verse 12, says, the works that I do, shall you do. And what? Greater works. The anointing without measure. Folks, we're in that season. I'm trusting God to get to some things today. Very important. So why do we need that? Like Pastor taught us, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3.
so that we not only get them born again. You see, the problem with church today, people have gotten born again, but we have not been able to disciple men. Say, we have not been able to disciple men. Why? The commission is to make disciples of all ethnos. How come we are not able to, I'm not talking about people getting born again. I'm not saying about the commission not to start churches in every village. When they come out, we say, no. Into disciple men, into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of a ministry, for the edifying of the word of Christ. The real come in your faith, on Lord, the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is discipleship. But how can you disciple somebody when you have not been discipled? If you read that story about David, as I'm talking, when they came to meet David, I said they are battled with him for 3 days, eating and drinking. I don't have time to turn there. I've been eating and drinking and using that 3 days as a type. I says that today, tomorrow, I'll cast out devils and do cures. And in the third day, I will perfect it. When they came to John David in droves, well, you don't have to turn there. He says that they were eating and drinking for 3 days. Then David sent them away. Praise the Lord. So we have to make disciples of men. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. He said, people will come that day and say, come to the, let us go, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations what shall flow, all ethnos shall flow into it. And many people will go and say, come here, let us go up the mount of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the Lord and the word of God from Jerusalem. So they will now come and learn his ways. It will not be like, you know, of Israel, that the Bible says Moses knew his ways, but the Israelites knew his acts. No, they are coming. They want to know, Prof, how did you raise the dead? Then you come and show them. But there's no big deal. There's no big deal. You just use this arm of love. Join good morning, Jesus. Say, are you is that serious? Is that easy? They say, yes. I'm coming to learn. I made it very simple so we can relate to it now in our lives. Praise the Lord. Number three is a day of vengeance and comfort for those that mourn is on Isaiah 61, verses 2 to 4. Let's read. Isaiah 61. It is the day of vengeance. So, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ did not fulfill this part. That is what we are called to fulfill. The nations are ripe for this. The body of Christ is ripe for this. Let's see what God will do in the month of new beginnings. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So, it's the same thing. It's the same season. To appoint unto them that mourn is on, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. Next verse. And shall build the whole waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair waste cities, and the desolations of many generations. A lot of things that our leaders in this nation have done. It is the manifestation of the Son for God that repair these desolations they have brought us into. A quick walk will the Lord do and cut it short in righteousness. Job 34, verse 20. We don't have to turn there. Job 34, verse 20 to 30. It talks about the judgment upon the soul leadership, the rebellious leadership, stubborn and rebellious in the body of Christ. And also upon political leaders. Say, in the moment they shall die, and people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away. But the magic will be taken away without hand. We can read it when we get home. Because of time. Job 34, verses 20 to 30. Speaks about the judgment of God that has come upon the soul leadership and the political leadership, the political pharaohs that are in the land. Psalm 144, verses 11 to 15. Pastor has taught us from this. You can go and check it later because of time. He says, rid me of strange children whose mouth speak vanity, whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That right hand there speaks in particular about the body of Christ. The right hand is the right hand of intercession. The Lord Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. So he talks about whose right hand, the right hand of falsehood, is those that are that he's talking about intercession, that are offering up strange fire. Now we can also say, you know, deliver me from the hand of these strange children. That is the problem. That's why God's people are not growing. They are keeping them in spiritual captivity. But God is going to rid himself. Whose mouth speak vanity and their right hand are falsehood. That! Next verse. Our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similar of the palace. Next verse. That! Our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. And our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000 in our streets. And our awesome return labor, you know, happy, blessed, because of time, well, you know, the scriptures, we can check them out. You see, in Ezekiel's temple, the water issued out from the threshold at the right hand, speaking of intercession. So if what is coming out from the temple is corrupted, it's going to the nation. So you can see what is going on. The problem is more with the guys in Abuja. It is the problem is what is with the church. But I say, you are the salt of the world. If it's salt has lost its savor, then it's good for nothing than to trodden out under feet. Say, you are the light of the world. The politicians are not the light of Nigeria. Our president is not the light of Nigeria. We are the light. But many today in the body of Christ have hid their light under the bushel by not following Abraham's mission. They kept it on their flesh. The flesh is dominating them. So what is Israelite of a temple is no more pure. Like the same time of Elisha, he said, this land is good, but the water is what? It's not good. It's not pleasant. So God is raising up an Elisha ministry. Notice it was Elisha that inherited double portion. You remember that convention, what double glory. That is what we need to change the waters of this land. So, the fourth point I have here is that God wants us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. If you don't redeem the time, buy back the time, many are going to die. Because of our spiritual slothfulness. Are you with me? But there's a timetable. There's a timetable for us to follow. If we do not hasten the time, what about those children that are still in captivity? A better secondary school. Could that have been possible if there was the manifestation of the sons of God? And you tell them, all this one that you are saying you don't know where they are. They are in so-and-so place. Then you go there, you smite them with blindness. And you bring them and the children back to Kaduna. And I say, oh, give them food. Give the abductors food. Say, no. Are you the one that caught them? That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Because we must be ready to reach out to love. Part of that love will be judgment. If I be a man of God, I don't have to go there. Therefore, I come down and consume you abductors wherever you are. And I will consume them. I will not consume the children. You are yet to say greater works. Say greater works. Than this shall you do. You have not seen anything. You are talking about what Moses did. Moses said, if I be a man of God. He said, the Lord will do something he has never done before. And what happened? Korah and Dathan, the land opened up. And they went straight to hell. They went straight to hell. Highway to hell. So, Romans chapter 8, verses 19 to 23. In King James Version. Are we there? We're going to read to 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Next verse. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Next verse. For we know, say what we know, that the whole creation, including Nigeria, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Next verse. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits, the earnest of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan, say we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the redemption of our body. That word redemption, that Pastor has taught us, we are waiting for the transformation of our physical body. Like when we were sharing the other day, when we explained that transformation of our physical body, we just be going about different duties, wherever God has posted you. Then Nigeria, like I said, there must be timing. We Nigeria will not touch the hem of his unchurched garments. And virtue will flow. And immediately, this blood, this flow of blood of this woman, where bleeding will stop. All these things that we see, people being killed every day, it will stop. But it's not until there's a manifestation of the sons of God, a type of Christ there, and he appears on the scene, then the nation will say, I heard he's passing by. I say, if I can touch, that will be like they will come. Bible says that strong men, they will come in chains. They will say, they will come and listen to the word of God. People in different government pastors, they will come. They will come and hear the word. They will receive the wisdom of God on how to solve the problems they are facing. Praise the Lord. So, how do we attain unto this? Say number one, We need to pray to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation of that blessed hope. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18 says that you see, you need to, before you can start doing anything, you need to have a revelation or a vision of what you are going through. So it's not something I'm sharing, it's not physical. God needs to shine the light upon your heart. So the first thing to get that revelation, Ephesians 1, 7 says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. So the eyes of your understanding, before that, enlightened. Tsunami was not enlightened before. To know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his revelation power to us what we believe. So we need that. That's it, say number one. The second thing we need to do, which we are doing already, is daily putting on the whole armor of God, which is love, and praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit daily. So that's what you do when you join Good Morning Jesus. But it doesn't end there. We take those same principles to pray about different areas of our life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Saying, praying always with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. And what you do unto with perseverance and supplication for all men. Number three. Say, looking. Looking for what you have seen by revelation. See, it is the revelation you have that will now determine what you are looking for. So when somebody comes to you and says, this is the hope of his calling, you can say, no, that is not it. You are not easily led astray by people that deceive people in the body of Christ today and tell that heaven is their goal. But you see, Bible, you know what told Moses? He said, build according to pattern. So you can begin to build according to pattern, because this is what God showed me. So you can have a vision. You can run with it. That will determine a lot of... You see, once you have that, you don't need to pray about many things. It will determine what you do. It's very easy. It will determine... For example, just make it very simple. Can you imagine if I have to catch a flight in about, let's say, 2 hours time? I'm going to round up the message as fast as I can. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Why? Because I need to redeem the time. Because time is gone. So you don't have time for things that are unnecessary. I said, looking for what we have already seen in the place of revelation. To look is to watch and to pray always. Say, to look is to watch and pray always. Because of time, I'll just summarize. Giving all diligence to speed his coming in us by watching and praying always with our words. Say, with our words and our thoughts. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. We already read it. And to speed his coming. This we do by washing our feet. Say, at least 4 times daily. At every opportunity. And in every temptation. Now, the emphasis for us today, which I believe God wants me to share, is this. The emphasis is to speed his coming by creating more opportunities to watch and pray daily. You see, 4 times is fixed. The temptation may come, it may not come. In fact, it's difficult to pray during temptation. But the Lord just says, watch and pray always. He didn't say sometimes. That may be accounted what you escape these things. Are you with me? Said to Peter, say, couldn't you watch me for 1 hour? Say, what I'm praying so you don't fall into temptation. So you see, the way we are going to inherit this glory, the way we are going to see this thing is this season, or the famine has begun, is for us to say, create more opportunities to watch and pray. Don't wait. Create the opportunity. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to prompt you. It's good if it prompts you. Paul said, I will pray in the understanding. And I will pray with the Spirit. I say the Spirit of the prophets are subject to prayer. So create the opportunity. Create the opportunity. So the more of us that create the opportunity in our different areas of life, that I will hasten the coming. That is the center. That is the focus of this message today. The more of us that begin to create, thank God we do it 4 times daily. Thank God we do it at every opportunity, during every temptation. But see, the more of us that begin to create the opportunity, the faster we hasten his coming. Are you with me? So, Luke chapter 12, verse 35 says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. What does that mean? It means that, you see, this opportunity, approaching and praying always, you can't do it effectively if there's not a background of intercession with groanings. That's why it's very, very important for us to join. And then you continue after. Are you with me? So, Luke chapter 12, verse 40 has begun to round up. The Lord just said something. He said, the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. Let's look at that. But ye therefore, be ye therefore ready also. Now let's read together. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour
when you
think not.
Where do you think? In your mind, with your thoughts. For the Son of Man is coming an hour that you think not. So you must learn to pray now with your thoughts. It's going to come in an hour that you think not. Don't just see that an hour when you expect. No. Take that word think. You think with your mind. You think with your thoughts. That is when it's going to come. Are you with me? So like I said some time ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 7 says, pray without ceasing. 1 Peter chapter, is it 1 Peter now? Chapter 4 verse 1 says that he that has suffered in the flesh has what? Ceased from sin. Are you following me? I repeat it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1 says, he that has suffered in the flesh had what? Ceased from sin. Says ceased. So what I want to see is the issue of ceasing. So how do we cease from sin? How do you, pastor's message recently? I'm preparing for this message. The only way that you and I can pray without ceasing is to pray with your thoughts. Even as I'm ministering now, I can be communing with God in my thoughts. We begin to visualize seven eternal things. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, and the angels of God. We begin to fellowship at the thought level. But if you don't have a background of battle prayer, that is what it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Say, he that had suffered in the flesh, when you suffer self in the morning, when you pray good morning, Jesus, you have ceased from sin. And now continue in the day. Now begin to pray with your thoughts to direct the power of God. Notice I say again, if there is no effective battle prayer, the prayer in your thought life that they cannot be strong. So you now begin to pray without ceasing with your thoughts. So what begins to happen is this. When a notification comes, if my phone is in my pocket, it will just beep. Nobody will know that God has spoken to me. They can now check and read. So in my mind, I'm communing with God. So God draws something in my mind, like a text message. Or like pastor will say, God just dropped a tweet. Where is in your mind? So I'll read it. Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what is very, very important? I'm rounding up. It's because if you look at the life of Elijah as a type, Elijah was used to seeing God in the earthquake and in the wind. We passed that season. Where the season of a still small voice. If you notice when Jesus Christ was going to turn water to wine, there was no choir singing. He just heard the Father's word and he obeyed. Just in his thoughts, fellowship. That speaks of intimacy in the most holy place. Let's look at it as we round up. The Passover, earthquake. Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 to 53. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was resurrected, what happened? There was a great earthquake. Are we there? Okay, let me just keep talking. You don't have to turn there. There was a great earthquake. Says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Next verse. What happened? The rose. Talking about resurrection. That is Passover. Say Passover. That is how Elijah used to hear God. But God is no more in the earthquake. He's left Passover. When does he left Passover? Not as we are not celebrating Passover, but he's moved into the holy place. In the holy place, what does he say? He said that Acts chapter 2, verse 2, he said that they were in one accord in the upper room. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and he filled the house, and where they were sitting, he's no more there. He's now going to appear in this still small voice. Talks about intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to hear some songs of Solomon. He said, don't wake my beloved up. Begins to whisper to you at the heart level. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. What does it say? 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. No, I think that's the wrong scripture. 19:12. Is that what it says? Where it talks about the still small voice. He said that then, and then, 1 Kings, sorry, 1 Kings, not 2 Kings. I made a mistake. 1 Kings 19:12. What does it say? He says that, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice that speaks about the Feast of Tabernacles. I see the master. He will go to a place, he will be eating. The choir is not singing. A man with dropsy will come, will heal him and continue eating. I see, those who whisper to him, hear him now.
Father, we don't need the earthquake. What am I trying to say? Don't expect God to appear the way he appeared in the previous moves. Just like it now appear to Lord Jesus Christ, the way he appeared to John the Baptist, the old move. His mother just said, they need wine. It was a conversation between the mother and the son. And he said, woman, what do I have to do with you? And he consulted with God. And God said, turn the water to wine. Nobody knew. It was only the disciples that filled the sick water pots, and nobody knew. Everybody just drank new wine. The owner of Jesus said, so there's no noise. Say no noise. All this noise that we make, we want one person, then we'll camp beating around it. No noise. That's how the master operated. Say, the voice shall you not hear in the streets. Yes. It will just do something, it will just disappear. Still small voice. You're praying in the morning. And God whispered to you, say, go and hit that man on that road there. And then you pull the man up. But Elijah was not ready to listen to that still small voice, so he was retired. So if you're not ready to hear what God is saying, will not be retired in Jesus' name. So, okay. Let me get to nitty-gritty as I stop. We pray without ceasing, with our thoughts, using the mercy of God. Jude 21. Say, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. Pastor has taught us. Say, we keep ourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So how do we do this? Pastor has taught us. I'll just summarize. You see, say, Lord, have mercy on me. That I'm saying this again, so those that may be hearing for the first time, say, Lord, have mercy on me. So I'll be merciful to the unrighteousness and the sin and iniquity I will have no more. So the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. So then it also comes with the life of God. With that life of God now enters your soul and your body, and I begin to pray, you begin to look with your mind. Say, the Son of Man is going to come in an hour that you think not. So you have to think with your thoughts. I say, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we all can think according to his power that works in us. So that's how it's going to happen. So what does he say? Like I said the other time, when I studied Pastor's Week Grammar on praying with your thoughts, I just said what I believe God told me. Say, so you cease from sinning when you pray without ceasing with your thoughts. I said together, you cease from sinning when you pray without ceasing with your thoughts. Because that is the only way, like Pastor said, you can actually pray without ceasing. Thank you for putting it on the board. You cease from sinning when you pray without ceasing in your thoughts. I just pray without ceasing. Praise the Lord. So, that is how God wants us to hasten the coming of the Lord. Like I said earlier on, Joseph was out of prison in 2014. Joseph is 37 years old now. And the brothers are coming. Not only the brothers, but also the world is coming, because there's a famine of the world in the land. And we must be ready as they come to show them forgiveness, not condemn them for what they do. As he's reaching out for them and saving them, so as by fire. Are you following me? And then teach them the ways of God. That's what they're coming for. So that at the end of the day, we can disciple all nations and close this age in Jesus' name. Let's talk to the Lord in our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to the Lord in our hearts. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Lord, just thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Give you praise, glory, honor, and others. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Father, for their fathers. Thank you, Father, for their covering. Thank you for the open heavens we have. Please, let's talk to God. You should be talking to God in your heart, asking the Lord to help you. You should not be perfect yet. None of us is perfect. I'm not perfect. The mighty men of David were not perfect, but they understood the purpose that they needed David. They said, we know that you are the one, even before Saul, that God has spoken and chosen you. So you must have that understanding of those that God has set in authority over you. Are you following me? So you can follow on to know the Lord. And we are now a people prepared. Sing it gently. May holy and clean by the blood of the... Let's sing it as a prayer unto the Lord.
Watching and praying for Jesus' return.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready. And we will drink from the water of life in the city where the Lord is alive.
We hear you say,
we hear you say, you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the bride.
Because of time, let's sing. This is the day of return.
This is the day of His return.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
The very time.
Looking for that blessed hope.
The very time of His appearing.
Raise your voice.
Raise your voice.
Sound the alarm.
Sound the alarm. Let His bride make white the garment. And we are now a people prepared.
Talk to God. As a scripture that just popped up in my heart, I would like to read it before we pray. It's very important. A thought that just came to my heart. We need to appreciate our parents. Why? It's not flattery. For staying with the vision for 37 good years. I must confess to you, I've seen people preach this message and veer off. It's not because we are better folks. It's just because we have obtained the mercy of the Lord. That's why the Bible says in the end time, we call and we say, well done, thou faithful and good servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. There's so much that goes on when you choose this path of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's a straight and narrow way. And I've chosen that path and I've stuck with it. Come rain, come shine. I've seen things come and go. People come and go. Different challenges that have come to them. But somehow, the Lord has upheld them and has kept them. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us. The scripture that just got in my heart is this. It's concerning us. If you help me find it, I'm trying to look for it. Talk about the Queen of Sheba. When she came and saw Solomon, he said, the half has not been told. Are you following me? And now says something. He said, blessed are those that hear your words. If you help me find it, let me just read it because it applies to us. Just a minute, please. I found it. It is in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 6. I will read. And she said to the king, that is Queen of Sheba, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. How do we interpret that? Bible talks about Paul. Said, as a wise master builder. So we're not talking about building a physical temple. It's building God's people by the apostolic and prophetic wisdom. Are you with me? So he said, albeit I believe not the words. That's what they're going to say when they come. Until I came. And my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Now, this is where it concerns us. Say, happy are thy men, the mighty men of valor. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand what? Continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Folks, we are blessed. It's not flattery. We are blessed to have them over us. Let's raise one hand to them, put a hand on our heart. Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as bread. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to hasten your coming, even in me, by looking for that blessed hope, through which, Lord God, I'll be more diligent in washing of feet, creating more opportunities to watch and pray daily, especially with my thoughts. I receive fresh mercy and grace to enable me to practice these things with speed and righteousness, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, so that, Lord God, I may do the works that you did and greater works, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Pray. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have need of healing, wherever you are, if you are watching on the internet, the Bible says that he sent forth his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Like I quoted earlier, the Bible says that, for Lord will arise and have what? Mercy upon Zion. For the set time of our favor is come. And the Bible says, well, Malachi said, the Son of Righteousness will arise, what, with healing in the spirit. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me as I receive healing concerning that you mentioned it to God. If it's a need, receive it by faith. Bible says that he preached the word and the power of God was there to heal them. If it's a need, me, you may. If it's deliverance, it's there. Father, we thank you. Lord, just thank you. Father, we come for ourselves, spiritual Father, we command every need. Father, the sound of voice will be met. Every body, every sickness, command you to go, be healed in Jesus' name. Be delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. For this purpose, for the Son of Man manifested, that they might destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name.
The Spirit of the rising God.
We thank you for this day of your glory, Lord. We thank you for the words that have come forth again today, Lord God, telling us that truly the hour has come for you to manifest your glory in your church. We thank you for the privilege of being under the covering of fathers who know times and seasons and know and teach and preach and exemplify also what Israel ought to do. We're so grateful to you, Lord. We thank you for your great mercy upon us today and the word that has come forth, both the Bible study and this word that has just come forth. Lord, turning our hearts towards Zion, we submit and yield to your words, O Lord, and to your dealings in us, in our individual lives, and in our corporate assembly. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us, through us, for us, and by us, as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And under the covering of the Father of the house, come to preach and declare, say, the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. So we're above only and not beneath. So we prosper in everything we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection, and the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, of John, and of the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's share the grace. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.